This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. NASA, the space agency, has been under a cloud lately. The tragic loss of the space shuttle, the loss of two Mars probes, the dramatic cutback in work at the International Space Station, they've all cast the agency in a bad light. But shining through all of these troubles is NASA's crown jewel, the Hubble Space Telescope. For the past decade, Hubble has been snapping breathtaking pictures of faraway heavenly bodies. You've seen them all on television and newspapers, and they've been held up as examples of the best that NASA can produce. But the Hubble cannot stay in orbit forever or without routine maintenance, you know, like your car. It needs upkeep to repair or replace worn-out parts. In fact, the Hubble is due for a repair this January, but that has been postponed. Following the loss of the shuttle Columbia, NASA is not inclined to send any shuttles into an orbit that does not reach the space station, a safety stop for the astronauts servicing the Hubble. So the house call has been put off for another time, maybe for a long while. But like any machine, Hubble has a limited lifespan, and according to NASA, the Hubble's limit is the year 2010. And at that time, the Hubble will either have to be moved to another higher orbit or be allowed to crash into the atmosphere, perhaps have large pieces of it strike Earth, or a shuttle being sent up to put the Hubble in its bay and bring it back down, so that shouldn't happen. Or possibly there might be a robot that might be sent up with some booster rockets that might move it into a higher orbit. So there are all of these options. And according to one estimate, the Hubble is very important because a quarter of U.S. astronomers, a quarter, one out of four, use the Hubble's ultraviolet telescope. So if the Hubble is allowed to come crashing down or it has to be put out of use some way, there's going to be a great gap in astronomy that's going to open up. Can the new James Webb Space Telescope, that's a telescope that's scheduled for launch in 2011, can that fill the gap? Last week, an advisory panel met in Washington to discuss the future of the Hubble. The head of that advisory panel, John Bacall, is here to talk about what they have been debating. We'd like to ask you, what do you think should happen to the Hubble? What do you think? Next week, we'll know the decision of the panel. Maybe they'll be able to be in accord with what you think. Maybe they won't. If you'd like to join our discussion, give us a call. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. 1-800-989-TALK. As always, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com to find more information about our topics. Let me introduce my guest. John Bacall is the chair of NASA's Hubble Space Telescope James Webb Space Telescope Transition Panel Review. He's also the Richard Black Professor of Natural Sciences at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey. He joins us today from his office there. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Bacall.
Hi, Howard. Good to be back.
Thank you. John Huckra is the chair of the Board of Directors for the Association of Universities for Research in Astronomy. He's also a senior astronomer at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics and the Doyle Professor of Cosmology at Harvard University in Cambridge. He joins us from his office there. Welcome to the program, Dr. Huckra.
Hi, Ira. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Dr. Bacall, why can't we just let the Hubble stay up there and do things to make it stay up?
That is a possibility, but it comes with a major cost, as you mentioned in your introduction. It requires for its servicing a Hubble visit by the space shuttle, and it requires major resources in order to keep the Hubble operating.
Mm-hmm. John Huckra, you'd like to see the Hubble continue to operate, would you not?
I think we should try to keep it running for as long as makes scientific sense, and in my view, that's for a while yet.
And how would you go about doing that?
Well, you've mentioned some of the possibilities. One thing that you didn't say, or you did say, but I think is important for the listeners to know, is that Hubble is in an orbit that won't last forever. It's in a decaying orbit because it's in low Earth orbit. The Earth's atmosphere reaches up there, especially during solar maximum, and that will eventually cause the spacecraft to come down in an uncontrolled way. So NASA wants to and does have to go up and do something about that.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Bacall, give us a list of the options that you considered on the panel.
We considered just about anything that anybody proposed to us, and we did have very important, significant documents from a number of NASA groups, from John Huckra and many other astronomers on both sides or all sides of the question. possibilities that are being considered are from shuttle visits to the development of a robotic orbit to bring the Hubble back, or to place a propulsion device on the Hubble.
Mm-hmm. What about the new James Webb Space Telescope? Could that just replace the Hubble, what it does?
No. The JWST is a great observatory in its own right. It will have a huge impact on astronomy and I hope on human culture also, just as the Hubble telescope did. But it's not a replacement for the Hubble telescope. It will not have the sharp images and the short wavelength visual part of the spectrum and the ultraviolet part of the spectrum that the Hubble has brought us.
Professor Huckra, tell us about how much work the Hubble supplies for astronomers.
Well, that by definition is always a difficult question, but the way we often think about this when you try to analyze the demographics of astronomers is really the proposal pressure on the telescope and the number of papers and scientific discoveries that come out of it. And the point of view that I would like to take here, and we can back it up with documentation, is that the proposal pressure on the telescope is extremely high, especially after a servicing mission and a new instrument gets put on the telescope. In the last round, after the new advanced camera for surveys was put on it, it was about 10 to 1, about 10 times as much telescope time was being requested as is actually available to be distributed to the community. So there are people out there who want to use it desperately. Over 1,000 proposals are submitted each year.
Could it be indefinitely upgraded?
I think not, in the sense that, by definition, we will eventually have instruments in space that exceed its capabilities, even with additional and new instruments. It is only a 2.4-meter telescope. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about here, I think, for NASA, is the question of whether to try to extend its lifetime one more time from 2009 or 2010 to perhaps the time when the James Webb Space Telescope is actually launched, to provide some overlap. The two telescopes, as John said, are not the same. The Webb telescope is being built, was designed to operate in the near infrared and longer wavelength infrared. That is a wavelength region that HST sort of gets to, but doesn't really. And in the case of HST, it's a superb optical and ultraviolet telescope, and at the moment, the plans for the James Webb telescope won't provide any coverage into the optical and the UV.
So even by just lengthening its life, you're not going to replace it. There is nothing there to replace it eventually.
Well, a plan is a long time off to launch another spacecraft with a bigger telescope that can indeed do that kind of work. But at the moment, NASA's planning has that sometime off in the 2020 or 2025 time frame.
Dr. Bacall, how much of this money and politicking goes into your decision that your panel is making?
We had to be aware of it. We had to recognize, just as you do when your car is beginning to wear out, that you can't have run everything. You can't afford with limited resources to do everything. So we were aware of that. But our primary charge was to see whether we could find a way to maximize space science within the known budgetary constraints and the other resources that were available. I should add to what John said about the marvelous contributions of the space telescope that just by a NASA index, about 40% of all of the citations to NASA science are based upon Hubble Space Telescope work.
So, you know, you're telling me it'd be a tremendous loss to lose that telescope.
Yes, and I'm sure you feel that way every time you trade in your car, too.
No, not every time.
But the difference is that you usually get a new car the same day.
I'm working on my 9-year-old car right now. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. Let's see if we can get some calls in here. Let's go to Troy, Michigan. Robert and Troy, hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
I was calling to say, you know, what they should do, you know, if it's going to be out of commission, they don't see to the point where it's going to be, you know, worth.
Troy, you there? Robert? No, he's gone. He was going to say they should go put up another new one and put the Hubble in the museum. That would mean having to go up again and actually pluck the Hubble out of space on the shuttle. Wasn't that the original plan?
Yeah, that was the original plan, Ira. But I think that's not a plan that's currently being considered at NASA, because each visit to the Hubble is a dangerous one, and it was felt that visiting just to bring the telescope back and put it in a museum was not a sufficient reason for a shuttle flight. So I think that particular option is not being considered. I should say that we talked to a number of astronauts, both in formal way and in an informal way, and they certainly have very strong feelings about their role in this process.
Mm-hmm. So the other options are to, as we said before, put a motor on it and move it into a higher orbit, but that would take some new robotic technology that hasn't been developed yet.
Well, I think we're not considering moving it into a higher orbit, because that requires a larger propulsion device, mm-hmm. a heavier propulsion device than seems feasible right now. What is being considered is to take the Hubble telescope and attach to it, either robotically or with a shuttle visit, a propulsion device that will, in a controlled fashion, allow the telescope to be landed in the ocean and not drop down on somebody's home, as you mentioned in your introduction.
I see. So that would not lengthen, that option would not lengthen the life of it.
Well, it depends on whether or not the propulsion device could be made compatible with scientific operations of the Hubble telescope. That's under study.
But that's a device that is not even on the drawing boards yet, or?
No, that's not quite right. It's certainly being studied very intensively, particularly at the Goddard Space Flight Center.
Right, and also there's a fair amount of design work being done at Marshall, not to leave them out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really the two options, Ira.
Yeah.
One is to robotically attach a propulsion module that doesn't allow any kind of upgrade to the spacecraft, you know, refurbishment of the instruments or replacing the gyros, which are probably the most difficult pieces to deal with in terms of their lifetimes. But if, in fact, a propulsion module could be added to the spacecraft even robotically, you could still continue to operate it for a while. And if the shuttle was used to add a propulsion module to the spacecraft, that does provide an opportunity to add another instrument to refurbish those pieces of the spacecraft that do need maintenance, like the gyros.
Mm-hmm. Is it a question of money, then, deciding which is a better way to spend NASA's limited amount of money?
There are lots of questions. The primary question is, what is the best investment of limited resources, money, and human beings as they are exposed to danger in the shuttle? What's the best investment that one can make of all of the resources that NASA and the scientists have at their disposal to get the best amount of science?
Mm-hmm. Right, and in fact the questions, I mean, they're broader questions as well, some of which are not the purview of this particular discussion. For example, the whole issue of the continuation of the shuttle program and whether they will fly and whether they will be replaced and on what time scale and
mm-hmm.
how.
All right, we're going to have to take a quick break, come back and ask a few more questions. So stay with us. We'll talk lots more about the future of the Hubble Space Telescope and what you think should be done with it. John McCall and John Hooker are with me. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the short break. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about the fate of the Hubble Space Telescope with my guest, John Bacall, chair of NASA's Hubble Space Telescope James Webb Space Telescope Transition Panel Review, and John Hooker, chair of the Board of Directors for the Association of Universities for Research in Astronomy. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. So it's possible that NASA could say, well, we're not going to go up and do any more flights to the Hubble because we just fear it's too dangerous, and that could basically take one of your decisions away.
It could even happen that the Congress could say that. Both the Congress and NASA have the prerogative to decide how the space shuttle is used.
Exactly. But I actually think that in the scientific context, the question may be a broader one than just optimizing science inside the Office of Space Science in NASA. When you do the back-of-the-envelope calculation, this even agrees with what comes from NASA, the actual cost of trying to produce another servicing mission for Hubble, assuming that the shuttle is used to do this, to attach the propulsion module, is less than 1% of the NASA budget over a period of 6 or 7 years. I think my view is that that may be a very small investment compared to the giant returns that we've seen from HST, both in terms of science and also in terms of public relations and public education and outreach to the broader American community.
Isn't there any way to internationalize this effort so that you can spread the cost around a little bit more?
It is already at some level. The European community has a 15% share of the Hubble Space Telescope, as well as a fairly large share of the James Webb Space Telescope. And the Canadians have contributed to the program as well.
Mm-hmm. Have they given you a deadline at all for when they would make a decision in NASA or in Congress or anything? Do you have a feeling of one?
No, but in our report, we do address issues which need to be considered promptly. That's why our report is coming out so soon. Our report is coming out August 13th. I think that's next Wednesday. And it was scheduled to come out October 1st. So that was possible because this accelerated pace was possible because we very quickly reached unanimous view about what the conclusions were.
But you think it's necessary and desirable to speed it up that much because of the vicissitudes of what's happening?
I think there are decisions that NASA needs to take one way or another, which they can deal with better if they start considering the options now.
Mm-hmm. And so you'll be releasing the study next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday at noon.
And that will be in Washington?
No, that's going to be released on a NASA website.
On a NASA website. There's not a news conference announcing any decision or something like that?
No, there's going to be a press release from NASA, I believe, which they're writing now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that will be the final, your panel's going to be the final word?
No, absolutely not. The final word will be... there won't be one final word. The NASA administration will consider what we conclude, and then they will make their own decisions in the light of factors which they understand better than we. We're all scientists. And they will also be sensitive to what the Congress and the administration recommend.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us, and we'll be you've already made your decision, and you're going to be announcing it next Wednesday?
That's right.
And does the speed of that decision give us any hint about which way it's going to go?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't be a journalist unless I asked you for a little upcoming hint on what's
going to. I don't think so, Ira. I know you well enough. Anyway.
All right, John, thank you both Johns for joining us. John Bacall, chair of the NASA's Hubble Space Telescope James Webb Space Telescope Transition Panel Review, and Richard Black, professor of natural sciences at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, and John Hookra, chair of the board of directors for the Association of Universities for Research in Astronomy, and he's a senior astronomer at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, and he's Doyle Professor of Cosmology at Harvard. Thank you both for joining us this hour.